The washing of the disciples' feet, the Lord's Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane. Christ, as true man, prayed and suffered the assaults of Satan, tempted in the garden in the place of sinful man. Jesus wrestled with death. His heart was sorrowful, even unto death. He knew that he must die. He looked to his friends for comfort, but they were sleeping. He lamented to his friends about what was about to happen. He lamented to his Father, asking the cup to pass. But Christ was to drink the cup of wrath over the sins of the world. Thus, Christ was more distressed than any other man on earth. And he suffered in this way for you. Christ, as host, instituted his Holy Supper. The Passover lamb's blood could only protect the Israelites with God's promises attached to it. Death would pass over the home marked with the blood because God said so. Ever since then, though, the Passover meal was simply to remember God delivering the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt through the Red Sea. But on the same night when Jesus would suffer agony in the garden, on the very eve of his death on the tree, the cross, the Lord Jesus gave to his people what the Passover could merely foreshadow. He took bread and said, "This is my body given up for you." He took the cup of wine and said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." The Holy Eucharist is in memory of Christ's sacrificial death, but it is more than our remembrance. It's what Jesus said it is. "This is my body, this is my blood." For what purpose? For the forgiveness of sins. Who should receive this? Empty, hungry souls. Those who are hungry, thirsty, poor, needy, sick, and weak. The great physician prescribes the medicine. Here's the healing for your true sickness of sin and death. The Lord's Supper isn't some legalistic annual memorial feast. God's word has freed us to receive the sacrament, God's gift to you, often. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. God stands to give you true food and true drink, food that imparts eternal life for you, as you'll receive it. Faith receives God's grace. Faith receives what God gives. Christ knelt and washed his disciples' feet. Repeatedly, when Jesus said that he would suffer and die, his disciples repeatedly didn't get it. In a way, it's understandable. Think of the power in Christ's hands. The healing that he brought. He could raise the dead. What could anyone do against him? But God's will include Jesus becoming man to suffer and die for all mankind. Jesus was to be least of all, servant of all, caring for the neglected outcasts, the sinners, the worst of the worst. Isn't it beneath Jesus? The agony that our sins and the Father's wrath over them brought upon Christ in the garden should bring us guilt and shame. How dare we? Yet we see our Lord endure it for us. He came to serve us, to kneel down and wash us clean. He still serves us hungry, needy, unworthy ones, as he and he bids us to receive his true body and true blood, that he serves to us poor sinners as we have need. And if we disciples hadn't understood it by now, as we're wont to do usually, the Lord taught us that evening that he's the Lord who serves. This isn't beneath him. It's kind of why he's here. He knows your filth. He knows how rotten your sins are. If anyone knows how terrible you are, it's God. He knows your sins more than you. And yet, he knelt to wash feet, to serve his disciples. He graciously condescended through his word to absolve you of your stinky sins and nastiness. If he doesn't do this, what would we do? I'm sure we'd come up with something, right? Pile up our filthy rags to high heaven and try to climb on them right up into heaven. But that won't work. You see, heaven came down. We didn't go up. Heaven came down, so low, that heaven itself knelt before us. Christ's healing hands tied a towel around his waist, and then those hands took our stinking feet and washed them. Christ's healing hands would bring eternal healing when those very hands had nails driven through them, when he took all our stinking feet, hands, sinful speech and thoughts, filthy rags, all of it onto himself. We sinners compare ourselves to one another, rank ourselves. Humbly, we say we're not in first place, but, you know, maybe we're at least in God's kingdom, because that's what we really wanted after all. And we say it because maybe something in us, something that distinguishes us from those other sinners. And the world and Satan would gladly agree with us with that lie. They love to turn Christ into one of many virtuous moralists, and Christianity into just another religion of morals, good deeds, and how to be a good person. Pile those filthy rags up, guys. Let's see how high we can get. But the real Christ Jesus reveals something far greater than moralisms and legalisms. Tonight in Holy Week, we see our Holy Lord. Sure, he'd have us love and serve one another. It's right there. Wash others' feet. Do this. Forgive them. Be like your Lord and your teacher. But why? To somehow merit Happy Land? No. Why love others? Well, because the Holy Spirit has revealed the Lord Jesus to you through the Word. Because the Lord Jesus has revealed the Father's love for you. True God and true man knelt to wash the disciples' feet. And Jesus has revealed his work for us poor, miserable sinners. It's this Jesus who established this supper and who has set the table for you, to give you himself, to unite you as one. By eating and drinking the same body and blood of Christ, we know that our fellow communicants have the same Jesus in their bodies, hearts, souls. And so we love our fellow communicants, one another, as our second self. The first are last, and the last are first, for Christ must wash us all. The washing of the disciples' feet, the Lord's Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane. We aren't worthy of any of these gifts. That's the truth. This tells you a lot about who you are on your own, lost and condemned. It tells you even more, though, about who you are because of Jesus. You are a sinner who has been redeemed, truly redeemed, fully redeemed, purchased with Christ's holy and precious blood, with his innocent suffering and death. Because Christ has served you, washed you, baptized you, fed you, given you drink, and suffered in your place, you are his, and he is yours forever. Amen.